four high school boys decided to skip class one hot afternoon and go to the beach. The next day, when they were asked why they were absent, they said they'd had a flat tire on the way back from lunch. They were quite relieved when the teacher smiled and said, "That's okay, you just missed a little test. So grab a piece of paper and each of you take a different corner of the room. Here's the question. Which tire was flat?" You've heard this one before. The truth. It's a huge topic. And at the risk of oversimplifying, I've chosen five questions and suggested some answers, which I hope will help us take a fresh look at the importance of truth. And these five questions are: what is truth? Volumes have been written on that. Where can I find it? Why does it matter? How can we discern truth from untruth? And how can I promote truth? First, what is truth? Well, it can be described as either absolute or relative. Professor Sarah Nashif-Tan, in an article, "Holding Absolute Truth in an Anti-Truth Culture," described it this way: absolute truth is based on reality. It's what's real. Relative truth is based on choice, what you choose to believe. Absolute is unchanging, regardless of anything else. Relative truth is fluid. It changes according to the individual, the culture, the time. Absolute truth is discovered. It's always there. Whereas relative truth is created. Absolute truth is outside us. It's objective, independent of us. Relative truth is inside us. It's subjective. It depends on what we think. Now, some absolutes are universal and accepted by everyone, such as the Earth is round. The Earth revolves around the sun. Now, I know there's some flat Earth people, but humans are mortals. Now, there are other absolutes which are challenged, but they're still true, and they're often Bible absolutes, like God created the world. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Humans were created male and female. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Professor Tan describes it this way: true is true even if no one knows it, even if no one admits it, even if no one agrees with it, even if no one follows it, and even if no one but God grasps it fully. Now, some examples of relative truth, and they are more beliefs or opinions, true for you, not necessarily for me, and they could be outright lies. For example, of a relative truth, mountain climbing is fun. Maybe for some of you, but certainly not my cup of tea. Reading can be boring. Not for me. Broccoli tastes good. All roads lead to God. Good works will take us to heaven. Once, a very stubborn person was arguing with Abraham Lincoln. And finally he said, "Well, let's see, how many legs has a cow?" "Well, four, of course," came the indignant reply. "That's right," agreed Lincoln. "Now suppose you call the cow's tail a leg. How many legs would the cow have?" "Well, five, of course." "Ah, that's where you're wrong," said Lincoln. "Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. A rose by any other name still smells the same." Well, what are the sources of truth? We know that the ultimate source of truth is the Word of God. And there are many references to the truth in the Scriptures. For example, David said, "O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true." He prayed, "Lord, lead me in your truth, and teach me. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He also said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The devil does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. After the Last Supper, Jesus repeatedly mentioned truth in his words to his disciples. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He spoke of the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. At his trial, he told Pilate, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Or another version says, I came to bring truth to the world. The Bible is the source of truth about creation, the flood, the real age of the earth, who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, who we are as believers. It's also the truth about matters like finances, parenting, relationships, daily life. We can find Bible truths also in books, magazines, videos, TV, radio, church, but beware, there are also untruths and false teachings there. There are many sources of secular truth. There's information on every topic imaginable, but again, some things there are true and some are not. So why does the truth matter? Well, the absolute truth of the Bible is essential to our Christian faith. I don't think you'd argue with that. But I came to realize the extent of this a few years ago when Terry Proskew pointed out the importance of believing in the 6 days of creation and the young age of the earth, only 6,000 plus years old, as opposed to millions and billions, as our scientists keep on coming up with. Because if we can't trust the Bible truth about these things, how can we trust anything else in the Bible? About Jesus' death and resurrection, our own salvation. So we have to believe the absolute truth of the Bible. And the truth is also necessary in our everyday lives. Dr. Norman Geisler and Dr. Frank Turek say that we demand truth in virtually every area of our lives. For example, we demand truth from our loved ones. No one wants lies from your spouse or your child. From our doctors, we want the right medicine. We want the right surgeries. From the courts, we want them to convict only the truly guilty. From our employers, we want them to tell us the truth and to pay us fairly. From the airlines, we demand truly safe planes and truly sober pilots. We also expect the truth when we pick up a reference book, when we read an article, when we watch a news story. We want the truth from advertisers, teachers, politicians. We assume that road signs, medicine bottles, and food labels reveal the truth. So, why does the truth matter? It's essential to our Christian faith. It's necessary in our everyday lives. Another, knowing the truth brings freedom. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this applies to daily life as well. It helps us make sense of the world we live in, and it can free us from anxiety and uncertainty. For example, the truth that God cares for us should keep us from worrying, right? Even learning an unpleasant truth in a medical diagnosis can remove some of the anxiety of not knowing. I think one of the worst anxieties is just not to know. Well, the truth can free us from that, even though it may open other anxieties. Knowing the truth helps us take immediate action. If I know why my car is making that funny noise, then I can decide where to take it to be fixed, or whether indeed I want it to be fixed. Knowing the truth can help us prepare for the future. If we have evidence that a time is coming when food, electricity, fossil fuels, water will be in short supply, then we can take the necessary steps now and not be caught. Knowing and acting on the truth can save lives. Research has revealed that many facts could have been known and acted on to prevent the loss of 1,517 lives on the Titanic in 1912. And one outstanding example is that the captain ignored at least 6 warnings from nearby ships about drifting ice. On a lighter side, 4 men, a pilot, a professor, a pastor, and a hiker, were flying a small plane when one of the engines failed. The pilot said, "Well, sorry, there's only 3 parachutes. It's my plane, so I'm taking one." And out he jumped. The professor said, "I'm brilliant. The world needs me. I'm taking one." And out he jumped. The pastor said to the hiker, "I don't want to be selfish. You take the last one." And the hiker said, "Don't worry, Pastor. There's still 2 left. The professor took my backpack." Knowing the truth can save your life. How do we discern truth from untruth? Well, do some homework. Do some investigating. Proverbs 15:14 says, "A wise person is hungry for knowledge." Or another version says, "hungry for truth." Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." This applies to both the Bible and to secular truths. Bible truths aren't always obvious, and they require interpretation. They require that you read and study the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth, as we learned earlier. We can't believe everything we hear or read. I still remember the year when I discovered some different interpretations of the Bible from what I had grown up believing. And as I studied and thought about these interpretations, it made a huge difference in my faith. It opened up for me a future and a hope. And this is continuing in my life, and I'm sure it's happening in yours too. We have to keep on investigating and learning and studying. Don't be content to rest on what you know. We have to also do some discerning in secular truths affecting our daily lives, like health, the economy, government, education, and so forth. And there are many organizations, broadcasters, writers, speakers, researchers, and think tanks available to anyone who is interested in learning the truth. Thanks to a neighbor, I have access to a weekly newspaper, which was founded by a man who witnessed huge injustice and persecution in his own country. And he knew that one of the main reasons that this injustice was allowed to continue was that the people didn't have access to the truth. In every issue of this newspaper, you will find these words: "We are prepared to debunk every lie with evidence and uncover those who pose a threat to the international community. We strive to dig deep for the facts of the situation while leaving the opinions up to you." Because telling the truth was the entire reason we were founded, it's the one thing we will always dedicate ourselves to before anything else. This sums up the mandate of many online alternative news sources, which are available to all of us. And it's also the mandate of faith-based TV programs, such as one I know of, which interviews respected professionals in medicine, politics, education, psychology, sports, finance, law, economics, and more. And there's always the invitation: check it out for yourself. Don't take our word for it. Here's a few examples of what I've learned. I've learned of the many lies, half-truths, distorted truths, hidden truths, misconceptions, and bad decisions surrounding the handling of COVID. I've learned about those who tried to challenge the truth and were discredited, fired, fined, and sometimes imprisoned. I've learned about corruption in the food and medical sector. I've learned of the prevalence of false reporting by the media. Do you know that 2 years after claims that the remains of 215 children were discovered in unmarked graves at the Kamloops Indian Residential School, still no remains have been found, and no excavations have been made. Those unmarked graves are soil disturbances detected by ground-penetrating radar, which cannot see bones or bodies, and they are due to septic field drainage tiles. Now the media is calling them suspected graves. How tragic. This false reporting stirred up terrible hatred and resulted in the burning of churches across Canada. I've learned how transgenderism is affecting women's sports. And you might say, well, who cares? Maybe you'll care when your daughter or your granddaughter is prevented from realizing her full potential because a transgender male is competing in her sport. And this is happening. I've learned how we are losing our rights and freedoms in Canada. So what can we do to discern the truth from untruth? We find some information, and then we ask God to help us discern it. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And while it's discouraging to learn of all the evil in society, it's encouraging to learn about all the groups and individuals who are fighting for the truth, liberty, and justice that we need. And it seems that every week I learn of another effort on some front. In fact, just last night, I heard of an award-winning reporter and author who has left the mainstream media after his reporting revealed the extent of Chinese interference in Canada's election. And he's starting his own international anti-corruption news outlet. People are waking up. I really believe that. And it's exciting to be part of the awake culture, not the woke culture that is prevalent. Well, what can we do to support truth and oppose untruth? First, don't be afraid to know the truth. You might say, I don't want to know. It's too depressing. I can't do anything anyway. Leave me alone. I just want to live my life. Well, do we want to be bubble believers? Do we want to avoid facing the scary issues in the world by hiding in our nice little bubble, in our quiet little towns, basking in the warmth of this lovely fellowship of this church? Amen. I don't. It's been said that the only thing necessary, and you've heard this, for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nada. Nothing, right? The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Some questions we might ask ourselves about knowing the truth. Do I know what my child or grandchild is being taught in school, especially with regard to gender identity? It's out there. You should know it. Do you know whether your child's school is celebrating Gay Pride Month, which is this beautiful month of June, and it breaks my heart to think that one of the loveliest months of the year is being dedicated to the celebration of Gay Pride? Do I know the pros and cons of digital ID? Do I know the extent to which MAID, medical assistance in dying, is being promoted in Canada? Do I know what the World Economic Forum is and how it's affecting me? Do I know the truth about abortion? Do I know whether what my local library's policy is regarding drag queen story times for children? Do I know what diversity, equality, and inclusion mean? They're lovely sounding terms, but how are they affecting me? I don't mean to be a prophet of doom. You probably think I am. Withhold your tomatoes, please. And I don't want to be a fear monger. But we can't afford to be ignorant. If we're overwhelmed, we can start with one issue that affects us, our family, our community. One thing that we can do something about. So, besides knowing about it and not being afraid to know about it, here are some other things we can do. We can pray against the evil. When I open one more email about one more disastrous example of injustice and evil, I have to resist the temptation to give in to despair and say, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Instead, I have to say, Lord, give your angel armies an extra command to go to war against these satanic forces and beat them down and turn their agendas sideways. Yes. Besides praying against evil, we need to pray for the truth seekers and the truth upholders. We have to ask God to give them wisdom, discernment, protection, and favor. These people are out there fighting for us, whether we know it or not, and often at their own expense. We need to teach our children and grandchildren how to recognize truth and lies. In the last issue of Focus on the Family, which is a really good little magazine, by the way, not just for people that have families at home, I read this article, Discerning Truth Among the Lies. And the author states that most of the faulty slogans, messages, and ideas our kids will encounter in our culture can be boiled down to three modern lies that are disguised as truth. And the first one, my feelings determine truth. Younger generations have come to accept that truth is relative to each individual person, especially when it comes to their religious and moral beliefs. One 15-year-old summed it up this way: whatever you feel is real, and everyone else should accept that. And that's what we encounter when boys come to school feeling like girls, and we have to accept it and address them accordingly. A second lie: if you disagree with someone, you hate or fear them. They're being taught that love means you accept and even celebrate another person's feelings and preferences, and that disagreeing means that you must fear or hate that person. And a third lie, God just wants me to be happy. And when the pursuit of happiness is built upon constantly changing feelings, it fails to give young people the tools and inner strength necessary to navigate difficult situations in life. We need to teach our young people. And we need to share this truth that we are discovering with others. I think many people are unaware of the threats that are out there to our rights and freedoms. We need to encourage them, we need to inform them, and help them to discover more for themselves. And finally, and this is part that we may not like, get involved. Write letters to your school board, to your town council, to your MLA, to your MP. Sign petitions. I've heard, oh, don't bother signing that petition, they don't work anyway. Oh yes, they do. I hear reports all the time of how petitions have swayed a decision. So sign a petition if you're led to do that. Donate to the causes that are helping to uphold the truth. Ask God to show you which ones and how much. And you may be led to start or join a protest. That's scary. Last month, an Ontario mother asked a faith-based organization for help in recruiting parents of her local area to participate in a walkout on June 1st, just a while ago, to protest the raising of the LGBT pride flag at her Christian school to celebrate the beginning of Pride Month. Well, you may say, well, what's all this fuss about a flag? It's just a piece of cloth waving in the air, right? But you have to realize that the raising of the pride flag was to kick off a whole month, in this instance, of classroom indoctrination, aiming to separate children from the religious beliefs of their families and convert them to the idea of gender fluidity. Today I'm a girl, tomorrow I'm a boy, etc. Is that what we want our children and grandchildren to be exposed to? And it's not just in Ontario. Gay Pride Month is being celebrated all across Canada. In Alberta, too. Now, this walk-in involved the kids staying away from school, okay? The protesters would have been happy if there had been a 10% absence reported. Imagine their reaction when they learned that from 30 to 75% of the kids stayed home from school. In one school, 600 out of 800 kids stayed home. And this all started because one mother learned what was going on in her kid's school and decided to do something about it. In concluding, I feel that we owe it to ourselves, our family, and our community, and our country to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as much as possible, on as many issues as possible. I think that as believers, we should care enough to make our voices heard in keeping with the great commandment to love others. John Lewis, an American congressman and civil rights leader who passed away recently, who marched with Martin Luther King to secure voting rights for black citizens, said this: when you see something that is not right, not just, not fair, you have a moral obligation to say something, to do something. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good, necessary trouble. Good, necessary trouble. The things that I've suggested you do won't make you popular necessarily. You might lose some friends. You might even lose the support of your family. But if the Holy Spirit prompts any of us to make good, necessary trouble, I hope we will obey. Father, show each of us what we should be doing to uphold truth and oppose evil. Help us to be discerning, wise, bold, patient, persevering, and loving in doing so. In hating the evil, may we not hate the people behind it. In all of our efforts, may we glorify your name and further your kingdom. Amen. Thank you.